We're going to look at John chapter 15 this morning. And I can tell you, as of last Sunday night, I really wasn't sure. I was either going to be preaching on 1 John again today, and then I was also going back and forth with John chapter 15, and this is where I landed. But things really changed as I progressed throughout the week in studying this and looking at this, so maybe a little bit different look at the scripture this morning as we look at John chapter 15. God's word says for us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we look to your word this morning. We look to have an understanding of these words that your Son Jesus Christ has shared, and to have your word come alive in us. Lord, give us an understanding and give us a heart to live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is one of those passages in the Bible, as read through these short little 8 verses, and hopefully you get to a point as you're going through them and you start to ask yourself the question and start to ponder in your own mind, am I a dried up, withered branch? Am I going to be picked up and tossed into the fire? And we're looking at a passage that brings about that kind of picture for us as Jesus shares about these branches. And I picked this picture here that I have behind me as the gardener is going through the vine and he's trimming these vines back. And you can get on the internet and look up your own pictures of vines that are trimmed back and cut back. And they're not real pleasant looking. They're not real. I look at them and I say, what in the world did you do? And I'm not a gardener, but they're trimmed back and cut back in a way. But certainly he knows what he's doing. And so I go through this passage and I say, God, what are you talking about taking these dry branches and burning them up, and gets us to these warnings where he cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. And hopefully we do ponder that and we do think about this, because Jesus is trying to stir us to some kind of decision here. So I want us to look and try and get a broad understanding of this passage and what it means, you know, what is being presented to us, what is being shared with us through these first 8 verses and talking about being fruitful. I want us to try and wrap our hearts and minds around this and understand, so we can make the right decisions and we can make, go the right directions in our lives. I want to jump to a scripture verses in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Pretty directive from Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate. And he goes on, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's a big picture that Jesus gives for us of this wide road, and we live in an area where we understand what a narrow country road is, and few find it. If you're going to go to the small group study on Saturday night, and I encourage all of you to go. It would be great if we just overwhelmed them at their house, if we all showed up. I encourage you, if you're not in fellowship with other people in the church as well, show up. But you will understand what it means to go down the narrow road or to go up the narrow road. But we also live in an area, we understand what a wide road and a highway looks like as well, and they're close by on both sides of us. So we get the difference between this narrow road and this wide road, and when we come back to John 15, we get this picture again of going one direction or going another direction. And so Jesus is telling us there's this wide road that's full of dried up sticks, dried up branches that are ready to be picked up and tossed into a fire. And he also tells us about this narrow road, a narrow fruitful road that we can be on. So I want to talk about being fruitful. I want us to understand what it means to be fruitful. I think there's nothing better than having a good bowl of fresh fruit. I think we all in our Christian lives desire to be fruitful, but I want us to understand what it means to be fruitful, and that way we can make some decisions from this passage of where God wants us to be. And so today, I want us to understand what the Bible is saying about being fruitful. Bear much fruit. That's what our scripture says this morning. Bear much fruit. And so if we're to bear much fruit, we need to understand what fruit is about. Now, I don't know when Jesus told this story. I have to picture in my mind that Jesus was walking down the road with his disciples. There was a vineyard off to the side, and he pointed over and he started to tell them that I am the true vine. And that's how he started. Or maybe they were there for dinner one evening, and they were all sitting around the campfire, and they were having their evening meal, and they all got their goblets out, and they all were drinking some fine wine, and he said, I am the vineyard. You know, or we don't know the situation. Maybe they were just there with a big bowl of grapes, but it doesn't matter what the situation is. We still have what Jesus told us about going and being fruitful. And to get the overall story. So we move along with being fruitful. Here's the question for us this morning. When is the first time in the Bible that we learn about being fruitful? Genesis, right? We don't have to go far in the Bible. If you start reading the Bible from the beginning and you start at verse 1, you only get to verse 28 in the Bible that we come across being fruitful. In Genesis 1:28, where Adam and Eve are told, and this is Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay. Do you understand what God was saying to Adam and Eve about being fruitful? Show of hands. We'll get participation Sunday. Hopefully we understand. I'm not going to go into details, but let's just say Adam and Eve were to be blessed and they were to have a lot of kids. And what they knew about God and the way that they walked with God and the way that they talked with God and the way that they worshiped God was to be passed along to their kids. And then their kids would grow up and they would worship God and they would walk with God and they would talk with God and they would be fruitful and they would pass it on to their kids. That's being fruitful. Passing something that we have on to our children. Who we are, what we are. We have children and we pass things on from one generation to another. It connects things like train a child in the way that he should go and in the end, he won't depart from it. It connects us back to things like Matthew 28, where we should go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. Or maybe back to Paul's instruction in 2 Timothy 2:22, where he tells Timothy, he says, look, the things that you have been taught, entrust these things to other men so that they can take those things and teach them to other people. Maybe it goes back to Deuteronomy 6:7. Where God says, in regards to loving him, that you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. There's an aspect of being fruitful of who comes after us. And we can apply this to our children that we have, or our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, and our families. But we can also apply this to our spiritual children as well in the church. Are we raising up a generation to know God, to love God, to walk with God, to talk with God? You know, out in the world today, there are many, many good parents. Many good parents. And they're raising terrible children. I'm willing to say that. There are many good parents and they're raising terrible children. I will tell you that out in the world today, there are many terrible parents and they're raising terrible children. But I also know that out in the world today, there are parents who love God, who have chosen to worship God, who have chosen to live for God, and are doing everything they can by God's help to raise good children. That is being fruitful, to be able to pass on from one generation to the next people who will follow God. It is not our mission here in this church, in Green Spring Brethren in Christ Church. Our mission is honoring God by leading others to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's being fruitful. One way of being fruitful is sharing the gospel message to somebody else so they fall in love with Jesus and they're walking behind us and walking in our shoes. That is one way of being fruitful. But today, as much as all of what I just shared to you about being fruitful, I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. I don't think that's what he was talking about when he talked about being fruitful. So that is one way of being fruitful. We have someone who is coming after us, going out and presenting the gospel message and training them up. But I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about here and what he intended. Here's another way of being fruitful. And I'm going to start by giving you a couple of scenarios and some things to think about. You have some paint. We have paint here at the church. We have old paint. I got paint. You got paint. Everyone in the world's got paint. You got paint. So Participation Sunday. Do you got some old paint cans sitting around? And so you come into church on Sunday. My son and I were talking about this yesterday. Right now, I have about 10 gallons of it, I think, sitting on my porch. It's his old paint. But and you go into church and you say, man, I got this old paint. What do I do with the old paint? And the other guy at church says, well, just put it in a plastic bag and throw it in your trash can. No one will ever know. No one will ever know. Now think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. And you can go to other scenarios as well. And just a couple of weeks ago, here at this church, someone decided that this would be a good place to throw away their television set. Now, I know, and most likely you know, in our day, in the things that we have learned in taking care of the world around us, we don't throw our television sets in the trash can. But there was a television in our dumpster. Don't know who put it there. I'm not really concerned about who put it there, unless it's one of us, and then we should talk. But I can tell you the trash man was concerned of it being there. And before he dumped our dumpster, that man must have got out of the trash and said those Green Spring people put stuff in there that shouldn't be there. For whatever reason, maybe he saw it flying over and dug it out of the trash truck, but whatever reason, he took that TV out of our dumpster, set it off to the side, then dumped our trash and left. Rightfully so. So as a Christian, what do we do with our TV set? Oh, just throw it in the trash, put it in a bag. If he would have put it in the bag, no one would have ever seen it, right? Yeah, that's okay. And so I ask those questions because it ties into what I'm talking about being fruitful. About being fruitful. I want to give you another story. It's from the people who made the Titanic. It's a shipyard called Harlan and Wolff. And the shipyard Harlan and Wolff had a problem. There were so many people in the shipyard, so many men who were becoming believers in Jesus Christ, that they had to build a shed in the middle of the shipyard to store all of the tools that all of these Christian men were bringing back to the shipyard because they had stolen them before. True story, go look it up. And so all of these men in the shipyard were Hey, you go to work, everybody else steals tools. Why don't I steal tools too? We've joked about those things and talked about conversations of people. Hey, they built a shed in the middle of their shipyard. And they named it after the preacher who was preaching to them all, because all of the Christian men were returning the tools back to the shipyard. That's being fruitful. That's saying something about the character of the men who were getting saved and coming to know Jesus Christ. They weren't throwing their TVs. They didn't have TVs back then, I know. They weren't throwing their TVs in the dumpster. They weren't throwing their paint cans in the trash, hidden in a plastic bag. They were bringing things that they had stolen back to their employer and saying, I did wrong. That's being fruitful. That's being fruitful. It's about God changing people's lives that they're different. And I believe it's those stories and the thoughts that I had shared about paint cans or TVs, and you can fill in the blanks with whatever else you want, that points us back and what it really means to be fruitful and what Jesus is talking about in these first 8 verses. I want to roll back. I want to start giving to you some things from the Bible to understand this. I want to roll back the call on Abraham's life. Abraham, Father Abraham, had many sons. On the call on Abraham's life, he was called to be blessed and to be a blessing to the people that were around him. And that cascaded to his children and eventually to the nation of Israel. They were called to be blessed and to be a blessing to the people that were around them. Their lives, as they came, the Israelites came into the promised land, their lives were to be focused on God, fixed on God, worshiping God, and their influence of their lives focused on God would permeate out to all of the nations that were around them, that they would understand who God is and come to know Him and to worship Him as well. That was the calling that was on them from Abraham right down to the Israelites, and that was what their lives were to be. And we see this a little bit. We see this a little bit. We see it with Rahab. Rahab was the woman who was in Jericho, who hid the slaves. She clearly testified that she knew who God was. She said, I've heard about you guys. You worship the one Lord. You worship the true Lord. And yeah, I'll help you out. And so we see how the Israelites and who they worship was rubbing off on her, even in a foreign city. We see it in the story of where Ruth recognized that her mother-in-law, Naomi, there's something different about that woman. And Ruth could have stayed home as a Moabitess and could have stayed home where she belonged. But no, she said, no, Naomi, you're going back home. And there's something different about you. And that's something different about you. I want to have different about me. And so we see again how the Israelites were rubbing off on other people. We even have God's heart for the Ninevites. Where God's heart for the Ninevites wasn't, well, they're a bad city, let me go destroy them. His heart was, no, let me send Jonah to the Ninevites to preach to them, to share with them that there's an opportunity here for you to repent and to have this changed. And that's where the heart of God was, for the Israelites to just continue to permeate out and influence others. Yet, with all of this, Israel as a nation would choose not to serve the Lord. They would follow sinful ways of the nations around them. They would allow themselves to be corrupt over and over and over. The worship of other gods infiltrated into their worship. The evilness of people around them permeated and flowed through their land. The greed of others, sexual debauchery, deceit, all kinds of evil would penetrate into the nation of Israel. And so instead of being a blessing and instead of being a light to the Gentiles, nations that were around them, instead of being who God called them to be, they were filled with the evil of everything that was around them. And even as you near the end of the Old Testament, even the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament are calling out to Israel and calling out to them to walk with justice in their lives, to walk humbly with their God, to show mercy to other people, to be faithful with what God had given to them, to stay faithful to God. And this call goes out to the Israelites over and over and over to stay faithful to God. And yet they decided they would not go that way. This same thought of faithfulness to God and the same thought of being fruitful in this way is carried into the New Testament. Our fruitfulness is described in the way that our relationship with Jesus Christ transforms us and changes us. It's where our heart is being turned towards God and our inward change is affecting our outward focus. It's where our eyes are being changed to the needs of others around us and how we can practically lend a hand to help others who we come in touch with. It's where the righteousness of God is given to us, and because of it, we have right use for God. Am I making all of this up? I don't think so. Because doesn't Jesus say to us, doesn't Jesus clearly say to us, he says, you are the salt of the earth. That's a very clear statement by Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. And what Jesus doesn't say to us is, go spread salt. He doesn't say, go spread salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. There's a big difference between Jesus saying to us, you have a salt shaker, go shake it over other people, and saying to you, you are the salt. And this is what he follows this up with. It's in Matthew 6, verses 14 to 16. He goes on further in Matthew 6, 14 to 16. He says, you are the light of the world. So not only are we the salt, now we're the light of the world. He says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It becomes very straightforward for us to understand that you are the salt of the earth, and now you are the light. You are the light. And how do we let our light shine? Jesus explains it. He says that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There is something about the transforming work of God that changes us from the inside out, where our fruitfulness becomes good deeds, or our lack of fruitfulness becomes bad deeds. We stay faithful to God, and He is certainly faithful to us. And each and every day, we're called to be fruitful. Now, I will say, if you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and you're just living your life in blatant sin, please don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Please. Please don't tell anybody you come to church here. I'm being serious. If you live your life as just a dirty, rotten, scoundrel, terrible person, please don't tell people you're a Christian, and please don't tell people you go to church here. Because neither is being a witness for Jesus Christ. And certainly neither is being a witness for what we would stand for or preach in this church. Now I say that with a caveat. If your desire is to live for God and God is changing your life, where you are being changed from being a dirty, rotten scoundrel and you're going through the process of transformation where your life is being changed and you stumble and you trip and you fall and you get back up and you keep trying to live for God in the way God would desire you, testify from the mountaintop that you're a child of God and keep on, keep on. There's a big difference between one of choosing that I just want to be a dried up stick and the other one that says, God, keep on pruning me, and every time I trip, help me back up, and I'm going to keep on keeping on and following God. And so we have to be careful. But there is two kinds of fruit, good and then there's bad. I want to help us understand this in the vein of fruitfulness. We only need to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. A familiar verse in the Bible, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's one fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we know that God is calling us to bear fruit. John 15, 1 through 8 says to bear fruit. I know that Galatians 5 tells me that the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a list of a transformed life. It's a list of a person where the old fleshy, sinful nature is gone and has died, and in place we're finding the new man who is salt and light. Now, when I was reading through that verse and reading through that verse and reading through that verse again and again and again in Matthew 5, 22 and 23 and thinking about love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I thought about all of those things, and almost all of them talk about how I interact with other people. And it talks about how you interact with other people. Love. Love does. Love is what we do for other people. If we talk about joy, that joy that we have in our heart because of God permeates into the lives of other people. Peace. Whenever we're going through the storms of life, the peace that we have, it touches other people. Patience. Certainly, patience is dealing with the other people around us. Kindness. Clear for itself, being kind to others. Goodness, showing goodness to others. Faithfulness, we don't disappoint other people. We're faithful in what we say and we do. Gentleness, being gentle with other people. Self-control, when someone got us so irate, we don't blow up, we have self-control. All of the fruit of the Spirit, and they're saying, wow, God. Wow. Is being fruitful and bearing much fruit God changing you and God changing me from the inside out? And I have to believe, yes, it is. I want to keep going. I want to give you another story. Matthew 25. I'm going to read verses 35 and 36. But while I read these two verses, I want you to keep in mind, Jesus says he's talking to the righteous. And so I believe that's you and I, people who follow Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter 25. Verses 35 and 36. Jesus says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to drink. Eat, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. You're right. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. There we go. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, Jesus is talking about something that he shared at the end of time, when we get to heaven, and we stand before Jesus, and we say, I did that? Because I don't remember doing that for you. If Jesus came and knocked on my door and said, I need a place to stay, I would certainly say, come on in. But Jesus says, you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And they're very practical things that Jesus is encouraging us in our Christian walk to do. And I don't think they're limited to just that list of four or five. And so, big circle, all the way back to the beginning. So often we think of being fruitful. So often we think about being fruitful is, I go to my neighbor and I say, Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross for you. And if you want to have an eternal life, come to believe in Jesus. And then we go back and we hide the paint can in a trash bag, and a neighbor sees us doing it, and we throw it in the trash can. And we want our neighbor to come to know Jesus Christ, and we share with our words what we want our neighbor to hear, and I truly believe God wants our neighbor to come to Jesus Christ, but at the same time, the transforming power of God has us still throwing a paint can in the trash. And the neighbor just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. Because what he sees doesn't align with what he heard. And I believe there are times where God wants us to walk up to somebody and let them know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and to share that testimony with them and the transformational power of God that touched us and can touch them. And I believe there are times and people are gifted and that is the way we live out our lives. But I also know that there's a greater fruit for every one of us. And it's the transformational power of God in your individual life that bears witness each and every day of how we live out our lives for God. And that's the fruit that I believe God wants us to think about in John 15. And when we can have that fruit, then we can have the words that follow it. We live our lives, our faithfulness to living out our faith, which communicates to the world that there's a Savior who changes lives. Okay, so John 15. Whenever we begin to look at Scripture, and it's quite often when we look at Scripture, that there's two things that we look at. And I shared earlier about there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. We know that there are righteous and there's unrighteous. We know there are good deeds and we know there are bad deeds. And so often in Scripture we get two different things that are given to us from a spiritual perspective. We know that there's a heaven, and we know that it's complemented that there's a hell. We know that people are found, but we also know that people are lost. With all of those, God always gives us a choice. He always gives us a choice. And I believe that it's the same in John 15, that He gives us a choice. And I've exhausted all my time, and I'm going to give you two choices. Real brief, two choices. Jesus gives us a picture of branches that are thrown into the fire. Branches that are cut off. There's nothing about the Scripture that hides this. Cut off. The dead branches, cut off, thrown away into the fire. If you lived in this area on Thursday and Friday, it was pretty windy, wasn't it? I don't know what you did on Saturday morning, but I know what some of what I did on Saturday morning. You picked up a lot of dead branches, and you chucked them into a pile somewhere. Whatever you do with your dead branches. That's the reality. The wind came through, not Mother Nature, God. God has the wind come through, and He blows the branches that are dead out of the trees. They fall all over our yards and our cars and our fences and everything else. And we go through and we pick up all of these dead branches and we cast them away. They either go over to the little campfire where we're going to have a little campfire, but pretty much at that point, those little branches are for nothing but burning up or throwing in a compost, getting rid of. We get that, don't we? I think we understand that God in all of His creation has designed a way to clear out the trees. We're given the same image in a vineyard. That God as the Father comes through and He says, you're dead, chopped off. You're cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off. When someone gets to a point where their desire is all about themselves and they refuse God, they don't want anything to do with God, they don't want to be fruitful for God, when they want to walk, don't want to walk with God and just pursue everything on their own, they're cut off, they're a dead stick, and it's good for nothing but to be burned up. If we want to know where we're at, some of us are in the middle of a windstorm. Some of us have been through windstorms, and they're at the end of the windstorm, rejoicing, thanking God, praising God. Some of us don't know if our windstorm is going to start this afternoon in our lives. If you really want to know where you're at, go through the windstorm. Go through the windstorm. When trials, troubles, sickness, health, all the things that come about, when you go through that windstorm, do you end up as a dry branch broke off? Or are you still hanging on? And the interesting part about the windstorm is you don't wait for the windstorm to find out where you're at. Fix where you're at before the windstorm comes. And make sure you're holding on to Jesus. It's before the storm that we reach out and grab Him. So we have cut off, and then the other part of the branches, and I told you I'd be quick with these, the other part is they're cut back. And that's one you have to scratch your head. Because I don't like that one. I don't like it, and I hope you don't like it either. But I know that God tells me that's the reality for our lives. We are either cut off, you're a dead branch, you're cut off, or you're thrown in the fire, or you are cut back. You're pruned, you're trimmed back, you're cleaned, whatever it may be. But go look at those pictures of the vines, and you will look at them, and you will say, that doesn't look pretty. If it was me, I would just let the vine grow however it would grow. But I know it wouldn't produce much fruit. I had a rose bush like that. Just let it go. It'll take care of itself. That rose bush is long gone. Long gone, completely dead. And God doesn't want us completely dead. And He says, because I don't want you completely dead, I'm going to cut you back. I'm going to trim you. I'm going to keep you healthy. And a routine of regularly cutting us back keeps the branches healthy. And that's where we find ourselves. The old song that says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His way, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We walk in trust with God that He is pruning us on the way through life, and He is trimming us, and He's cutting things back, and He is helping us to be more fruitful in our lives, and He knows what is best for us, and He sits us in a chair for a while, and He says, you're not getting up, and I'm going to hold you in that chair with that sickness because you're going to learn to have a strong faith in me. And I don't like saying that, but that's the reality that God allows us quite often to get sick. So we sit in the chair and we reflect on God and we get our eyes back on God, and then we know our faith is even stronger when we come through it. That's not easy to say, especially when you're going through the sickness and through the windstorm. But I know it's how God works in our lives, that He prunes us. Sometimes we see friends in our lives stop being our friends, and we say, why did I lose that friend? And God's saying, you don't know where you'd be if you still had that friend. Chop. I'm pruning it off. And sometimes our employment stops being our employment, and people wonder, why did I lose a job? Chop. You don't know where you'd be if you still had that job. Sometimes with health issues, chop. You don't know where you'd be if I didn't let that health issue come into your life and slow you down a little bit. We're facing the impossible in our lives. God comes and chop, cuts it back again. Pruning. The hand of God working in our lives in ways that we will never, never on this earth understand. And it's until we get to the end of the windstorm, and we get to the end of the windstorm, and we see God's faithfulness, and we look back and say, God, you did a good work in my life. And you pruned me, and you made me into who you want me to be. And that's God working in our lives. Jesus says in verse 4, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I have a box around that word in my Bible. Do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we do nothing. Without being cut back, we do nothing. Without being pruned, we end up being a big, fat, dried up branch. Good for the fire. Jesus gives us this reminder to stay fruitful, to remain in Him. Keep the spiritual juices flowing in our lives. Keep ourselves spiritually healthy. Don't unplug from God. Keep our eyes fixed on God. Keep our true hope in heaven above and nothing less. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance right towards God. And so what do we do with all of this? What do we do with all of this? Jesus Christ went to the cross to give His life for us. And it's not so we could just change direction. I don't believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for us just so we could be snatched from hell and then just live our lives as terrible people. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to restore us into a relationship with God so His righteousness will become our righteousness, and that He will transform us and change us into the people that He wants us to be. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That means until I get to heaven or Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to keep doing a good work in me. And He's going to keep doing a good work in you, and that means He has to keep cutting back. And He has to keep pruning and change us into the people He wants us to be. With all the stories and parables Jesus told, He always leaves us with a decision. The decision, do we desire and commit to remaining in Him? Or do we don't care and we'll just go our own way and live with being a dead branch? And a dead branch is a dead branch. Verse 8. I'll wrap up with verse 8. And I think we have a closing song today. I invite them to come up and get ready for a closing song this morning. Verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Stop and think about that one just for a moment. If being fruitful is our lives being transformed into God's likeness, into the character of Jesus Christ, that verse makes a lot of sense to me, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We're following God. A disciple is a follower of God, learning about God, growing in God, and in turn, we're bearing fruit. We need to decide, am I remaining in Him, and will I be fruitful, even during times of pruning, or I'm just becoming a dead branch? Let's remain in Him. Let's hold on to Him. Let's walk with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your light words shine so brightly. Lord, open up our eyes to see. Open up our eyes to see. Open up our hearts to receive. Who do we really want to be? Do we really want to be just a dried up dead branch? Or do we really want to be alive for God, becoming fruitful people for You? Lord, I thank You that You have begun a good work in each of us and that You will carry it on to completion. I thank You that Your strength goes with us. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit who works in our lives to change us. Help us to do our part, Lord. I know sticking a Bible under my pillow doesn't make me any better follower of You. So help me to open it up and read it. To allow Your words to permeate into all of our lives. Do a good work in us, Lord, so we can do a good work in other people's lives and carry forth Your gospel and be fruitful for You. That's our heart, Lord. We want to be fruitful. We want to serve You in the best way that we can, the way that You have called us. We thank You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name. Amen.